Thank you for joining us this evening for our Wednesday night meeting. Now, this evening we are continuing our series on questions in witnessing. We've looked at a section on questions about the Bible. We've looked at a section on questions about the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we're looking at some questions about God, some general questions that people ask about the Lord. And why don't we look up Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. It's there in your notes as well under the first bold heading, but you can look it up in your Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. And why don't we read verse 4 and then we'll pray as we begin. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you that your word is sufficient and complete. And Lord, it is powerful, it is living, it is able to meet all the needs of the soul. Lord, we thank you that we have your precious word that you've committed to us to declare in this world. Help us, Father, to learn some truths this evening that would help us to give an answer to people who do ask questions and who are seeking the truth. And Lord, those who are contentious, help us, Lord, to contend for the faith, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the question we're looking at is, do you believe in the Trinity? In the Trinity. Maybe you've been asked that question before. What is the Trinity? Do you believe in the Trinity? And there, your only blank for tonight, we believe that God is one God in three distinct persons. How can we explain the Trinity? Well, we believe in one God, but in three distinct persons. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on my door one day, and they had a little magazine. And on the front cover of that magazine, there was a man standing next to a gargoyle, a pagan statue with three different heads pointing different ways. And the magazine was criticizing the doctrine of the Trinity. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. And they say the Trinity is not in the Bible. And those who believe the Trinity believe in a pagan belief that comes from the pagan gods of the past. Now, it's true that the Babylonians and Assyrians, for example, believed in a multiplicity or a trinity of gods, but they believed in separate gods. They believed in gods governing other gods. Now, this is totally different from the Trinity because we believe in one God with three persons within the one Godhead. Well, what does the Bible teach about the Trinity? How can we better understand God in order to share the truth of God with others? Well, there in your notes, firstly, the Bible teaches that there is only one God. Only one God. Deuteronomy 6:4. There's a verse you can put in the back of your Bible. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is..." How many?
One
Lord. 1 Corinthians 8:4. "We know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one." So if someone says, "You believe in three gods," no, we don't. We believe in one. The Bible teaches only one God. Isaiah 43:10-11. "Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." He is the only God. There is only one God. Now, the Mormons believe, opposite to the Jehovah's Witness, in a multiplicity of gods and plurality of gods. And the Mormons say that God was never a man and man can never be God. But that's not true at all. There is only one God. Hope you're not a bug lover. All right. The Bible teaches that there is only one God. But as we go on, the Bible says that there are three distinct persons in the Godhead. Notice, secondly, the Bible says God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are all God. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. The Bible says God the Father is God. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father. So there's a verse you can share to show that God the Father, He is God. The Bible speaks about God the Father. Nothing wrong. Don't be ashamed of saying God the Father. He is God. Now, secondly, also the Son is God. This is a wonderful verse to share with JWs, Hebrews 1, 8. Why don't we read it together out loud there in your notes on 2? 1, 2. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God. Jesus is God. He is the Son of God. He is not God's baby, a child born of God. And you need to share this with the Muslims as well. They think we have some warped idea that God had a baby and he's the descendant of God. No, Jesus Christ is God. The word son doesn't mean a child of. The word son means the same essence, the same divinity. That's what it means, the Son of God. Now notice, the Holy Spirit is God. Acts chapter 5, you remember the account of Ananias and Sapphira. An event that took place that really shook up the church, because Ananias and Sapphira were carnal Christians, carnal believers, and they were lying. And Peter said to Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Notice what he says at the end, thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. So they lied to the Holy Ghost, and then in the same context, he says, you've lied to God. So the Holy Ghost is God. That's just one example. So here we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all one as God. They are God. God, we believe in one God in three distinct persons. Now, the Bible teaches us that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. We don't believe in three different gods. We believe in one God in three persons. Now, I took this from Brother Huey's little leaflet about JWs, and here is a good example of how God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit we're all involved in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All of them are spoken of in the same activity, the same action of the resurrection. Notice Acts chapter 3, verse 15, God the Father raised Christ from the dead. It says here in Acts chapter 3, as Peter was preaching and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. So who raised Jesus from the dead? In that verse, God, Jehovah God, God the Father, raised Jesus from the dead. All right. Secondly, what did the Lord say in John chapter 2? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, he wasn't speaking of the literal temple there in verse 21, but he spake of the temple of his body. Christ was foretelling what he will do. So, Acts chapter 3, God the Father raised Christ. At John chapter 2, Jesus said, I will raise it up. Now, only God has the power to raise someone from the dead. Jesus said, I will raise my own body up. What a statement. Then Romans chapter 8, verse 11, we see that God the Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead. The Bible says, but if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you as believers, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you, God the Holy Spirit. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are all God. They were all involved in the resurrection, and we believe in one God in three
distinct persons. That's what the Bible teaches. If someone is open to the Bible, they can very clearly see that and file this little next sheet that you're looking at in your folders. Keep it on record. These are just some verses. There are many others that the Lord will lead you to as well, but these are just some verses. Notice what the Bible says in the Old Testament. The Bible also points to the existence of the Trinity. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now when you look up the original Hebrew word for the word God, the Hebrew word is Elohim. Now the name Elohim is a singular noun with a plural ending. A singular noun with a plural ending. It is a plural noun. It's a plurality. The root Hebrew word. And if you look into the actual name of God, there in Genesis 1 verse 1, from the very beginning, you see that God is a Trinity. Go on to Genesis 1 verse 26. Why don't we read this verse aloud together, and let's emphasize the plural words in Genesis 1 26. On to 1, 2. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, I asked the JW one time, so who was God talking to? And they said very hesitantly, maybe the angels?
Yes.
And I said, well, the angels were there at creation. We know they were. But the Bible says they were amazed and marveled as they looked on. They did not get involved in creation. They are created beings. God was not talking about the angels. He wasn't conferring with the angels. He never asked the angels permission to do anything. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. What an amazing statement. After our likeness. We'll come back to that verse later. In the baptismal formula, there in Matthew 28, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the, what's the next word?
Name.
Notice it doesn't say names. The names of, the singular name of God, of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Singular. Not plural. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Then we see another example, and this is a very interesting one. Isaiah, when he saw the vision of God, he saw the seraphim surrounding the throne, and what were they crying out? Holy, holy, holy. Three times. God is a thrice holy God because he is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And there in the fifth point there, in the oneness of the three witnesses. Now, JW say this verse wasn't meant to be in the Bible, but it is. So it's their tough luck. 1 John 5, 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now, who is the Word? Go to John chapter 1, and you'll see that the Word became flesh and was manifest among us. And we beheld his glory, John said, even the glory of the only begotten of the Father, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So these three are one. I think that's a wonderful verse. Mark that down. Trinity. These three are one. Now it's difficult to explain the Trinity. Why? Because God is not like us. Amen? He is not us. We did not create God. God created us. He is, as we've learnt, I think it was last year when we looked at the Wednesday night series on knowing God. God is incomprehensible. How can we in our finite minds comprehend the greatness of God? We can't. We can't work it out. But we need to believe what God says about himself. He is a Trinity. But as we look at his creation, we can understand, perhaps in a better way, looking at God's creation, how God is a Trinity. For example, in the creation of man, we've already seen Genesis 1:26, in the creation of man, God made us in his image, in his likeness, in his spiritual likeness. We are made in the image of God. How did he make us? Well, he gave us a physical body. That is what we see. That's what represents our visibility on the earth. God gave us also a soul, which is our mind, our will, our emotions, our soul. Then he also gave us a spirit, which is our the way we communicate with God. Body, soul, and spirit. We are a triune being. And to someone who's genuinely seeking, I like to ask, you know, when you wake up in the morning, what part of you doesn't want to get up? What would you say?
The body.
But which part of you says, you better get up or else you'll be late for work and you might lose your job? Well, your conscience, you know, your mind, and the spirit says, well, there is a consequence. It's wrong. You know, it's wrong to, and it would displease the Lord for you to be late to work. So, and I like to ask the question, okay, here we see all three activities within you. Does that mean you're three different persons? Does that mean there are three of you lying in the bed and one's arguing with each other? No, you're one. But you have three. You are a triune being. God made us in our image, in His image, excuse me. God made us in His image. So that's just one way. It's not a perfect way to explain, but it is a helpful way. Now, another way is where if we look at nature, we can look at water. Now, school students, you would have learnt this in science class. Water can be found in three different forms. It could be a solid, it can be also a liquid, and it can also be a gas. That's right. But water, it's still the same element, water. Liquid, gas, or solid. But it's a singular element. God is one God in three persons. Now, doesn't matter how you try to explain it. Lastly, let me conclude with this. God, if He chooses to, can exist as three distinct persons and yet be one God. Why? Because He is God. Amen? He is God. Who are we to say God cannot be a Trinity because we cannot understand it? Friends, if God can create the world, the universe, with a spoken word, He can be anything He wants to be. Now remember, God as a Trinity does not mean He breaks any of His laws. He does not break any of His moral laws. It doesn't make Him a freak of nature as the Jehovah's Witnesses believe Him to be. You can challenge them. Look, God being a Trinity doesn't break any of His moral laws. He's still holy. In fact, He is a thrice holy God. Isaiah saw the angels saying that. Holy, holy, holy. Being a Trinity doesn't break any of His laws. In fact, He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He can exist as God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, anywhere and everywhere He wants to be. He is God. He is not limited. He is all present. He is all powerful. He can do what He wills. And God reveals to us in His word who He is. The different persons of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, have different roles, responsibilities. They are one. God the Son came to the earth to be crucified. God the Holy Spirit indwells the believer, but He's also described as the Spirit of Christ. Again, synonymous. God the Father, God the Son submitted to God the Father when He cried out on the cross and He said, Father, forgive me, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, why have You forsaken me? You see, they are one God, but the Son of God was separated on the cross because He became sin for us. He became sin for us. He was separated from God the Father. There we see the passion of Christ. But for us to understand the Trinity, we simply need to believe it by faith and to declare the truth of the Trinity. There in your notes, one concluding illustration. And I just took this from a good book on soul winning. It says, it is said that Augustine, one of the early church fathers, was troubled by the concept of the Trinity. While once walking along the beach, he chanced upon a boy emptying buckets of water into a hole in the sand. What are you doing, young boy? He asked. Trying to empty the ocean into this hole in the sand, came the childish answer. It then dawned upon Augustine that he too in trying to comprehend the Trinity was trying to empty the ocean into a hole. That is, trying to comprehend an infinite God with his finite mind.
Amen.
See, God is God. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that is the truth of who God is. So when someone asks you a question, do you believe in three gods? Do you believe in some pagan religion? There's all sorts of junk on the internet these days, in books, that people say, no. We believe in one God. But he exists as a triune God. Well, what does that mean? And then share with them, and then lead to the gospel that it is God who came to this earth to be born of a virgin and died on an old rugged cross to pay with his holy blood for your sins and mine. And he desires to save you before it's too late. Bring them to the gospel. Amen.